Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio.
Three, two, one. It's Masters Week. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast. Steve Johnson here. Great. This is the Great Predictor and also Tim Peroshka, Minnesota Tim. It is Masters Week, and we are episode 63, getting close to Tim's favorite number, coming up here in a few short weeks. But anyway, Masters Week, and I'm excited to talk to Tim Peroshka. And for you to listen to us, actually. So
Steve, I have a quick question for you.
Okay.
Have you let go of the listener's nuts yet?
Well, we did that in segment three. You told us to hang on to them at the end of segment two, and then I said we got to release them, and we did, and it paid off because I told the story. What was the story that I told?
I think it was the national anthem.
Oh, okay, that was it. That was the one. Yeah. So. Round one is in the books. Round two is today. We're coming to, hey, your man, Max Homa is, I'm listening to, or I'm watching Masters on the Range right now. Max Homa, very uncomfortable looking Max Homa is talking to, Amanda Balionis about, I don't know what he's talking about, but I'm sure it's something that's just riveting.
They're probably talking about golf.
Yeah, could be. But, you know what, I'm watching. This is the great thing about the coverage. And PGA Tour Live does it. The Masters certainly does it. It shows everything. It shows the guys on the range warming up. Just got a little preview of Justin Rose warming up this morning. He and Jordan Spieth are not in the same group, but they do tee off early this morning. Jordan Spieth was my pick. I was all in on Jordan Spieth. I'm still all in on him. Did you see in round one, the avoiding disaster on hole number 15. Did you see that?
Yes, it was very lucky. If he did not hit the pin, that ball was going in the water, and it became an incredible shot, something that Jordan Spieth has become known for on the PGA Tour. But that shot was lucky, Steve. That ball was going in the water.
Wait, absolutely. It was gaining speed. We'll talk about the greens here in a second, but let's just talk about that 15th hole. The 15th hole is a long, long hole. They've lengthened it out as far as they can. They've got trees on the left, huge trees, narrowing the fairway. And those guys were hitting. Jordan Spieth hit 5-iron for his second shot on this par five. His playing partner, the Australian kid, Cameron Smith, hit 7-iron.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know it. Now, And this has to do with the broadcast, and why do we need to hear exactly what the reaction is to every shot? It got Justin Thomas in trouble a number of weeks ago when he let something fly that wasn't acceptable to our ears. But Jordan Spieth, when he hit that shot, that 5-iron, did you hear what he said?
I did not.
He said, "Sit your ass down," is what he said. Sit your ass down. The ball hit the green. It was downwind. It hit the green, went over the green. And that is a very tough chipping spot from there because once most greens, and this is one of the things, this is general knowledge here, Tim, for our listeners. Most greens slope from back to front. And do you know why that is, Tim?
I do not know why that is.
Well, that's so shots from the fairway can be accepted onto the greens easier. You know, it makes it a little bit more receptive when the slope is into you and the ball hits the green. The green is more receptive to shots. Now, there is a design of green called a Redan. He was a golf course architect, Redan green. Well, that's one that slopes away from you, which is very, very difficult. Can you imagine if all the greens sloped away from you? Can you imagine in the final four of the NCAA championship basketball, if the hoops sloped, instead of being parallel to the ground, if the hoops sloped away from you, almost every shot would need to be a bank shot. That would change the game significantly. So even though in golf, on the 15th hole, the green slopes from back to front, Jordan Spieth knew when he hit it, it was way too much. So he's over the green. He's on a little uphill lie. But he knows when that ball starts, hits the green, it's going to be rolling. And those greens were so fast yesterday and so firm. But that's Jordan Spieth. I mean, it's almost like we expect him to have a number of different hole outs from the fairway or around the green. And we certainly did yesterday. It turned his round around, went from one over par to one under par just with one shot.
Yeah, Spieth had a crazy round. He was all over the place. It was very roller coaster esque. He was talking about he had shots in the woods. He hit it off a tree and it went backwards, so he lost yardage. And then there's another one where he had another shot in the woods, and he was talking with his caddy Michael Greller, which is great to hear the conversations on the golf course. And he was mentioning that he really had no shot, and he was taking basically a stab in the dark on the 13th hole, the par five. Because that was the only shot. He had to get lucky. And he got lucky and he was able to get it out. And then you talked about hole number 15, Steve. Jordan Spieth's round was very Jordan Spieth-like. It's a struggle for him. It's a grind for him. And Augusta National, when you look at the players on top of the leaderboard, they are all grinders. Augusta National is set up for a grinding golf course. Patrick Reed's on top of the list. Bezuidenhout. Webb Simpson, Brian Harman, Justin Rose. You wouldn't consider these guys the top cream of the crop on the PGA Tour, but you would consider these guys the top grinders on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, you know, and I didn't think we were going to see this, but we do see a lot of foreigners on the leaderboard. Because of the COVID and because of changing the schedules and quarantines and all that stuff, a lot of the European players have been staying at home, been staying in Europe. But out of the top, I mean, we've got Matsuyama up there. We've got Bezuidenhout, Wiesberger. Bernd Wiesberger, how long has it been since we've said his name? He's up on the leaderboard.
I don't think I've ever said his name.
Yeah, Bernd Wiesberger.
Wiesberger.
Wiesberger, thank you for the pronunciation there. Shane Lowry, Tyrrell Hatton. I mean, you've got a bunch of them. I don't see any Bryson DeChambeau up there.
Yes. Oh, man. We got to talk about him next. Okay. Let's take a quick break. We can talk about Bryson DeChambeau, his four over par. It's just been a disaster for Bryson DeChambeau at Augusta National again. Last November was a disaster. First round is a disaster. Bryson DeChambeau does not know how to handle Augusta National, and the Great Predictor and I will talk about that next. Go to voodoopainrelief.com right now for a patented product of Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. The product is a free two-week supply. It will take care of your aches. It will take care of your pains. Hank gets thousands of emails talking about how this product has completely changed and shaped what people do during their day-to-day activities. So go to voodoopainrelief.com right now for a free two-week supply so you can feel better today.
Welcome back to segment two of the Hank Haney Podcast, Saturday Strong Edition, Great Predictor, Steve Johnson, and also Tim Perochka, who is fully clothed today, for you listeners that are wondering about that. He's half clothed. we're coming to you, we're recording on Friday morning, a little bit later than usual, 8 a.m. or 8:15 a.m. Central Standard Time. We usually it's 6 a.m.
Which is why I'm almost naked, by the way.
Because it's early or because it's 8:15 Central Standard Time?
Well, when we wake up at 6 to record, it's pretty early, so I'm still half naked.
Yeah, but let's get back to the Masters. I don't want to hear about your partial clothed situation there. But it was one of the things I love about the Masters.com. You got to get on there, Masters.com. I clicked on live, and it's showing the guys warming up this morning. The driving range, I have not been to Augusta now. Well, actually, I have been to Augusta, but I have not hit on the new driving range. And it is phenomenal. I mean, it is. They've got a lot of different playing situations where you've got short game area, you've got long hitting. One of the things that kind of surprises me about Augusta National on the driving range here, they're showing Matt Kuchar right now. But when they do show the tee, they show all these divots out there in front, you know. And now, so what that tells me is, as a range owner, a lot of ranges will use a blower to blow the divots away because it looks terrible. What we do is we mow those divots, so it mows them back into the like a mulch, Tim. And they didn't do that at Augusta National, and surprises me. But when you're playing there, before the tournament starts, they have caddies out there with a little bag of seed and a little bag of a mixture of organics and seed. So when you take a divot, they refill it, and it'll be like brand new in a couple of weeks. But they haven't done that on the driving range. A little bit different look this year to Augusta National. And do you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the contrast of the greens to the fairway. Now, the fairways do look green. That's a perennial ryegrass that they grow in. It's a beautiful surface, mowed at a nice height. But the greens look really crusty. It looks like U.S. Open greens right now.
Yes, that is it. So I want everyone to hold on to their nuts here, okay? Because I don't want you to lose track of your nuts. We'll talk about Bryson DeChambeau in the third segment, because right now we're talking about the burnt out greens at Augusta National. This is a complete overreaction. They are copycatting the USGA by what they're doing to Augusta National right now. Balls cannot stay on the green, and it is Thursday. It's Thursday, or it's Friday now, but it was Thursday, and balls would not stay on the greens at Augusta National. They are already fast, and they are completely overreacting to Dustin Johnson blitzing the field last November when he shot 20 under par. The next closest guy to Dustin Johnson was a normal score. Was it like 13, 14, 15 under par, somewhere in there? This is an overreaction. Augusta National, the committee, whoever sets up the golf course, they are completely pulling a USGA, burning out the greens, frustrating the golfers. But yet at the same time, Augusta National has privilege because they are not getting destroyed like some of the other USGA courses. They have the privilege of being the tradition in golf. They have the privilege of being the first major championship of the year. And this is the biggest privilege right here. The biggest reason why Augusta National isn't looking like the U.S. Open or USGA right now is because they have 86 golfers playing in this tournament. The U.S. Open has, what, 156? If there was 156 players at Augusta National, could you imagine just how burnt out these greens would be? That's the one defense this golf course has.
Well, that's true, but they can change the complexion of this. The look and the playability of these golf holes overnight. I'm anxious to see what it looks like today. Is it going to be again stressful on the greens? I mean, you can see that in almost some of the areas, it's not necessarily brown. It's brown when you look from the drone height, but from the surface, from 6 foot above the greens, like the players would see, there's some areas that are blue. There's some areas that are green. I mean, it looks like, wow, these things, if they don't get some water pretty soon, they're going to be dead. Adam Scott talked about it before the tournament started. He said, man, if you're above the hole, you're going to roll these things off the green. And sure enough, yesterday on hole number 15, Adam Scott was above the pin and he could barely keep the ball on the green after it just barely trickled over the little ridge. It was not necessarily a Sunday pin placement yesterday because the hole was not cut so far back left, but it was on that left-hand side of the green. So anything to the right is very much a downhill putt. Saw Brian Harmon yesterday do a horseshoe putt that went way up and back down. He couldn't keep within 10 feet of the hole. It is volatile. You got to put this is what Hank and I talked about on that Tuesday strong.
Yeah.
When leading up to the Masters, I said, hey, you know what? The essential, the size of the actual landing areas and playable areas is so small when those greens get fast. Although the greens are big, the playability, the areas of playability are so small when the greens get fast. And I think they are no telling what's going to happen. I'm not sure if Justin Rose is going to continue his great play after yesterday, today, but we'll see here pretty soon. He's playing in the conditions. Morning conditions are typically easier than the afternoon conditions because the greens are a little bit more receptive. They don't want to have to go out there and water the greens in between rounds or during the rounds because if they prepare the course correctly, it will last the whole day. I got to tell you, on the practice range, they're showing every shot that these players are hitting, and they just put up a graphic. Bryson DeChambeau has hit 700 plus shots in the last 2 days on the driving range. Justin Rose has hit less than half of those shots on the driving range.
Wow, that's crazy.
I don't know if it has to do with their age or not, but
it could show their back issues.
Different styles of preparation.
Yeah.
Showing Phil Mickelson right now, every shot has been tracked, and it shows how he starts out with the shorter clubs and he works toward the longer clubs. There's a gap between clubs. His dispersion is very small, but side to side, his hits from left to right and right to left. I'm telling you what, if you're a golf fan, even a casual fan, and you're not watching these guys on the range, you're missing out because you can learn a lot from watching these guys. Everybody has a track man. It's tracking their shots behind them. Well, not everyone. Most guys. I see here Phil Mickelson. I see – I'm not sure who that is. I don't know if it's Billy Horschel. It does look like Billy Horschel. He's got the track man out. They're tracking and seeing where those balls are going. They got the monitors out there. What are you laughing about?
Great analysis, Steve. You want to tell us what the weather is doing in Texas?
What's the weather doing?
Yeah, in Texas right now.
It's windy.
Is it windy?
It's windy. It's warm and windy, humid. I don't understand where you're going with this, Tim. Well,
I just was saying that that's as interesting as talking about the track man behind the players on the range at the Masters.
They use this technology, Tim.
I know.
Okay, so in our range here at the Golf Ranch in Dallas, Texas, we just installed this stuff called Top Tracer. It's a Top Golf's technology to trace the balls. People love it. They want to see where their ball's going. They want to see how high it's flying. They want to see what the carry is, what the roll is. If you're standing out there on the driving range and all you're doing is looking out and ooh, I hit that one solid. Ooh, I didn't hit that one solid. Why didn't I hit that solid? That is not good practice. You're trying to practice shots that you're going to be playing in the near future on the golf course. So that's what these guys are doing. They're using technology to their advantage. Phil Mickelson's got the track man behind him, and he has a little monitor in front of him, and he can see exactly what's going on. There's a player next to him, and I'm not sure who that player. Oh, it's Patrick Cantlay. No, it isn't Patrick Cantlay.
That's your man, Patrick Cantlay.
But he's got a foresight out there. He's got a track man and a foresight, two different technologies, competing technologies, and he's getting an average of the two.
And they're still going to play like crap.
Well, Tim, they're going to play great. The conditions are just tough. These guys are great players. People don't realize how great these players are because if you were to see them at your golf course, and we all have good players at our golf courses, but they're club players. They're not the top of the top. When you see these guys, it's phenomenal how good they hit it, how solid they hit it, how they can control what the ball's doing. And people just don't realize if you can go out to a PGA Tour event in your area and just watch them on the driving range, you will be totally impressed.
Did you lose a little respect for Augusta National after seeing the burnt out greens?
No, I mean, there's a reason for it. I mean, at first I thought maybe Mike Davis is a member there. He's on the greens committee.
Yeah.
But there's a reason for it. Maybe they think the conditions are going to be too favorable for scoring, and they want it's a test. It's a test of golf.
Oh my gosh.
Jeez. It is. I mean, it's a test. They don't have a lot of rough. So they've got to test these players somehow. And when you look at the scores from yesterday and you say, hey, you know what? Augusta National is too short. It's outdated. It's a dinosaur. Look at the scores.
Yeah.
They can change. Same thing with Pebble Beach. I mean, they can change the conditions so quickly And it has to do with, like you're talking about, shot making. It's not just bomb and gouge. It's hitting the right shots, the right trajectory with the right spin to the right part of the green so you can play. And Justin Rose did it impeccably yesterday.
Yeah. Well, let's take our second break. When we come back, I want to reveal to you a thought that I had yesterday watching the Masters. And then we'll let go of your nuts and we'll get into Bryson DeChambeau, his 4-over par in round one, McIlroy's terrible round, and all the others. Go to HaneyUniversity.com right now for free daily golf tips available that will come to your inbox so you can improve your game. Summer's right around the corner. It's spring season. It's Augusta. It's Masters week. The greens are green. The fairways are mowed. You got that itch to play. So go to HaneyUniversity.com and get better at golf.
All right, welcome back to the Saturday Strong podcast. Hey, Katie podcast. Saturday Strong. Hey, I got to thank you guys for the downloads. We've been way up. And keep listening. We love your comments. Send in your swings. Tim doesn't even touch on that anymore. Send your swings into golfschools@hankhaney.com. We've had a lot of people send them in. I think they're coming from the Haney University app, which is a great app. Are you getting those tips every day?
I do get those tips every day.
Okay. So you got to follow them. Listen to them. Follow them. Imitate them because you're going to be a better golfer. And if you want a little input on your swing, golfschools@hankhaney.com. Just send me a video and we'll get right back to you. Now, Tim, I think it's time. We need to release the nuts. Let's release the nuts right now. And why don't you, you have some opening thoughts first and then we'll do the nut release.
Yeah, we'll release the nuts. So the immediate thought I had yesterday watching the Masters. Now, I don't know if he would have shot 7-under par because Justin Rose's score was absolutely incredible. But when I was watching the Masters yesterday on Thursday, the thought that I had was that Tiger Woods would have dominated this event. Tiger Woods would have dominated this Masters because this is exactly the type of golf course that Tiger Woods wins at. Tiger is so much better at putting his ball in the exact area it needs to be more than any other golfer on the PGA Tour. When the ball demands it to be in the middle of the green, Tiger puts it in the middle of the green. When the ball demands to be below the hole, Tiger Woods is always below the hole. So my thought watching the Masters on Thursday was that Tiger Woods would have dominated the 2021 Masters.
Wow. That would have been awesome. Okay, so let's talk about your Bryson DeChambeau. That he fascinates you, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Okay, so fairways hit yesterday. He hit half his fairways.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were talking about one of the things about hitting it long is you're going to be a little bit more wild. Well, the fairways are very generous at Augusta National. So he hit half the fairways, which is not bad. Greens hit. Let me see here. Greens hit 50% of his greens. 7-for-14 in fairways. Not bad. Driving distance, 326. Putting. 1.6 putts per green, which I, you know what, these master stats are a little bit different than the traditional stats that we're usually looking at on PGAtour.com, the strokes gained and all that stuff. This is a little bit old school. What do you think of comparing the stats that we're normally seeing every week to these stats, Tim?
Yeah, it's very difficult to judge completely. Is there an around the green statistic for Bryson?
Green statistics. Well, yeah, a greens hit.
Around the greens, like short.
Right, game. That doesn't have that. Doesn't have that.
Because he was struggling around the greens yesterday. There was a couple of times when he was off the green and he was chipping onto the green and he didn't hit it on the green.
Yeah. But you look at his scorecard. If you're just looking at the numbers, he's got just didn't have many opportunities for birdie, it looks like. Or maybe at opportunities. 1.6 putts per green is not bad. I mean, that's, you know, two putts per green is 36 putts. So 1.6 times 18. Tim, give me that real quick. 1.61 times 18 equal 28.98 putts, which is a pretty good putting round. So it tells me he's not converting. He's probably either not hitting it close enough to the hole, because after 10 feet, the percentage is 41% from 10 feet and in. But after you get outside of 10 feet, the percentages go down tremendously. After you get outside of 15, 20 feet, your percentage of conversions making that putt, it goes way down, like 4%. Just didn't have many birdie opportunities. You made one birdie yesterday.
I love that Bryson DeChambeau is not destroying Augusta National. That is the one positive of this golf course. Bryson struggles at Augusta. He struggled last November at Augusta National. He opened up the course with a double bogey on the 11th hole. It is absolutely amazing that Bryson DeChambeau cannot handle Augusta National. And he called this golf course a par 67. Bryson DeChambeau called this golf course a par 67. So Bryson DeChambeau clearly cannot play Augusta National to the capability that he thinks he can play.
Wow. Well, you know what? If you didn't see his round yesterday, you can look at every shot that he hits. If you go to the player and you click on the scorecard, Tim, you can see every shot he hits. Like on number one, he pulls it to the left, has tree trouble. I mean, and tree trouble is right next to a big tree. What do you call it? Not a limb, but the trunk of the tree. Can't hit the green. This is awesome. I mean, I stand corrected on the Masters website. You can look at every shot that he's hitting. Oh, on number two, not good. Let's see where he ends up. He's down in the junk on number two. It's a big dog leg left. I'm going to go to number four and see his tee shot. He pushes his tee shot way to the right.
You put it in the trees on number four.
That's the fourth hole.
Yeah.
He makes double bogey on that hole. He's having some tremendous problems. Now, the pin was cut way to the right. Number five's a tough hole, too. For him, pretty short hole, considering it's 495 yards, but for him, probably driver wedge. He pulls that ball. Having some hard times with the big stick.
His ego is too big for Augusta.
But that's neat, Tim. You got to get on there. You got to watch his round. You can watch every shot. You can do that with every player at the Masters, and that's a great feature, don't you think?
Yeah, that's absolutely incredible. Here's a quick statistic for you. Ian Woosnam drove the ball 269 yards in round one. He tied Bryson DeChambeau in a score, plus four. This is why the golf ball cannot be rolled back at Augusta National, on the PGA Tour, wherever. Woosnam would have no chance to tie Bryson if he had a golf ball that was rolled back. But they shot the exact same score.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And, you know, you see a lot of the older players, the Freddie Couples, he struggled yesterday. But Bernard Langer, what he shot two over, that's not a bad score. I mean, I'm looking for some of these old guys to make the cut.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Yeah, Langer made the cut last year in November.
Yeah. Wow.
Looks like Rory might miss a cut, although he plays better in rounds two through four. He always struggles in round one, but rounds two through four, Rory puts it together. He's tied for 61st right now, a four over par score. Your thoughts on Rory?
You know, I think he's way out of touch with where his game is. You know, he talks a great game. He talks a very confident game. But he gets out there. He was totally lost yesterday out there. It was a miracle that he shot what he shot. You said four over?
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like he was going to shoot 88 out there. I mean, he looked like Minnesota Tim.
What?
Yeah. He was all over the place, dubbing them, pulling them in the water, sculling them. But you know what? I tell you what, that's one of the reasons these guys are such great players. They just make something out of nothing. And I know for our listeners out there, you get out there and you think, okay, hey, gosh, I hit the ball pretty good today, but I didn't get anything out of my game. It has to do with the game plan. It has to do with fixing your big miss. It has to do with putting yourself in areas where you can continue to play. Bernard Langer did that yesterday. It's good to see him. Brooks Koepka, it looked like he was right in there with Rory. I mean, he looked like he was all over the place too. I look down this leaderboard here and I just see, what do you think the cut's going to be today now?
It's tough because Justin Rose was 7 under par. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess the cut, I'm guessing the cut would be 3 over.
Is it going to be 40 in ties? Is that what the cut is?
Something like that.
Yeah. So, and then 10 shots within the lead. I'm not sure if they have that 10-shot rule anymore. I read an article, just to wind this up, I read an article about guys that they thought that was going to be the from worst to best. And it surprises me that Vijay Singh is so far down the list. I mean, he's 11 over par through, 18, let's see, 25 holes. And he's home for the weekend. He's home for the holiday.
Yeah.
Larry Mize, that didn't surprise me. Sandy Lyle, 9 over. Too bad the Strafaci, the amateur, U.S. amateur winner, he's going home for the weekend too. Yeah. I mean, he may stay around to watch. Lee Westwood, was it surprising that Lee Westwood 6 over?
It wasn't surprising to me.
Okay. El Chipo Nogimi, 6 over. After some good starts, world match play, did really well. Mike Weir was beating him after one round. Jason yeah. Day, again, Zach Johnson, not good. You're going to have a lot of what used to be headliners going home for the weekend, I think.
Yeah, Larry Mize going home for the weekend. Former Masters headliner back in 1980-something. So
now, I'm going to have you watch this, Tim, because I'm thinking that Bryson DeChambeau will rally today, and he will make the cut.
Okay.
He will be there for the weekend.
I agree with you.
Phil Mickelson. Whew, he's 3 over. He's got to have a good round today. He plays this morning. I think he makes the cut too. Dustin Johnson.
He's not going to make the cut.
He's not going to make the cut? Okay. No, Phil. All right. There's a difference there. Dustin Johnson, he will make the cut. Bernard Langer will make the cut. Max Homa? He's right on the line. He's right on the cut line. He plays this morning. He's a favorite of yours. I've got him making the cut. What about Francesco Molinari?
I'm not. He's not going to make the cut either.
Okay. Wow. Jimmy Walker, no cut for him. He'll get cut. Henrik Stenson, no telling.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's why they play the game, Tim, because we don't know. They play the game because we can't predict.
Yeah.
They call me the great predictor. I can't predict.
Oh, my God.
But that's what makes watching the Masters this week, the start of the golf season in many parts of the country, that's what makes it so fun is that we've got to watch to see. And I'm going to be riveted to the TV. And I'm going to visit my mom, but we've already made plans. We're going to hang out and we're going to watch the Masters together. Which
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a great thing. I mean, she doesn't know squat about golf, but she enjoys watching the Masters. She'll ask me 5 times, where's Tiger here? say, Mom, he's not playing this week. He's at home.
Yeah.
But she loves herself some Tiger Woods. And I hope the greens get a little bit greener because it just kind of it messes up our image of the Masters when we see browns instead of greens.
Yep. Quick question for you, Steve, before we wrap. Did you know Augusta National is hillier than it looks on television?
Yes. Yes, I do know. Okay. Because I was carrying one of those bags in 2000.
I just didn't know if you knew that or not. Because
oh, man, the slopes are really, it's unbelievable how hilly the course is.
I just wanted you to know the announcers don't really say it too often. So I just wanted to check to see if you knew Augusta was hillier than you thought.
Well, at some point, I mean, you know, it does lose the three dimensions is lost in television. But at some point, television is going to come a long way and continue to progress. And we're going to be able to see those slopes someday. And we won't be able to say that the topography is much more dramatic than we see on TV. Hopefully someday we're going to be able to see that. Not this year, but that's why the announcers need to say that, Tim.
Yeah, that's true. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Saturday Strong. Saturday Strong episode 69 is right around the corner. 58 days until Haley and I get married. We're excited. were pumped. All of the above.
Judge, he was. Now, did you? We have to announce there that I formally.
We'll talk about that next week. That's a preview. Okay. We'll talk about the great predictor.
I formally put in my RSVP, and next week we're going to tell you what the great predictor's doing on Tim's wedding day.
Exactly. We'll talk about the great predictor's doing on the wedding day. Everyone take care, stay safe, and enjoy the Masters.
Thanks, Timmy.
The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.